Last few months have been very dramatic, haven't they? So many of our comfortable assumptions have been shattered. And in times like these, we can all agree that we desperately need wisdom. World leaders need wisdom. Medical experts and scientists need wisdom. Hospitals need wisdom. And we in our daily lives need wisdom. Well, the Bible too prizes the value of wisdom. How can we live wisely in the messed up world that we're in? Proverbs chapter 4 in the Bible emphasizes how very precious wisdom is. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and 8, the teacher investigates wisdom. What does he find? Well, let's notice firstly that Ecclesiastes agrees with Proverbs. Wisdom is of great value. Wisdom is of great value. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 11. Wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing and benefits those who see the sun. Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter. Wisdom is good. It benefits the one who has it. In a time of crisis, if we have money, then that shelters us from the worst effects. And in the same way, if we have wisdom, that too shelters us. Wisdom gives us a safe place to stand, like a roof over our heads, sheltering us from a storm. Look also at verse 19. Wisdom makes one wise person more powerful than 10 rulers in a city. It is much better to be wise than to hold a position of influence. In fact, the wise person may end up having more influence than someone who's meant to be in power. We listen to wise voices because real wisdom is so valuable. Chapter 8, verse 1. Who is like the wise? Who knows the explanation of things? A person's wisdom brightens their face and changes its hard appearance. Wisdom is of great value. And the reason for that is that the world was not made randomly. It was made by a careful designer. God has designed his world with patterns in it that the world usually follows. Over the bank holiday weekend with the family, we took the opportunity to do a new jigsaw, opened up the packaging, and we enjoyed that. And thankfully, the person who designed the jigsaw didn't give us a meaningless collection of pieces that don't relate to each other. Rather, there are patterns that you can follow. If you look at and try and find all the pieces with the same shade of blue, you're more likely to solve the puzzle than if you try random pieces and see if they fit. In a similar way, God made the world with patterns of how things usually go. Generally speaking, most of the time things will go better for you if you live with the grain that God, of how God has made the world. So let me encourage you, as Proverbs does, to get wisdom at all costs. Take the time to read not only Ecclesiastes, but also the book of Proverbs and Job and the Psalms and the Song of Solomon. However, the teacher also wants us to see something else. Yes, wisdom is of great value. But secondly, at the same time, wisdom is of limited value. Wisdom is of limited value. Time and again, Ecclesiastes forces us to reckon with the reality of living in a fallen world, this world that it describes as under the sun, a world that is broken. And in a broken world, wisdom has its limitations. And we're going to see that in three ways. Number one, wisdom is of limited value because we are not immortal. It's of limited value because we are not immortal. That is, wisdom cannot deal with the problem of death. The writer is inviting us to let death be our teacher. As one writer, David Gibson, puts it, death is an evangelist. In verse 1, the teacher draws us in with something that we can all agree with. A good name, he says, is better than fine perfume. Well, of course it is. Far better to be respected by those who know us than to have an expensive cologne. But then the teacher drives in the knife. Just as a good name is better than fine perfume, so the day of death is better than the day of birth. So let's follow that picture. Picture the maternity ward, perhaps the only place in a hospital where there is great joy. And then in contrast, picture a tragic COVID-19 funeral. Only a handful of people there. Maybe only 15 minutes allowed in the creme because there's so many funerals to get through. And the teacher says, you are better off visiting the creme than visiting the maternity ward. How can that be? Verse 2, death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. See, we love to pretend that we're not going to die. Or at least we never stop and think about it. But Ecclesiastes would say to us, don't switch off the news. Don't treat the death toll numbers as just figures. Well, that's good, the numbers have gone down a bit this day, this week. No, let death be your teacher. Teacher wants to say to us, death focuses the mind on the reality of life. It helps us have a realistic view of what we can achieve in our life that is, after all, really very brief. Verse 4. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of the fool is in the house of pleasure. The wise person doesn't drown out the voice of death with 1,000 distractions. Rather, she accepts the reality that in this fallen world under the sun, we are not immortal. We live in the post-Genesis 3 world, where we return to the dust that we came from. And no amount of wisdom can get us out of this broken world. So if you're wise, you will take this on board. You may make all sorts of wise plans for the future. You may make wise decisions that will stand you in good stead for the years ahead. You may gain valuable understanding of how life and how the world works. But tomorrow, God may take that all away from you. And one day he will take it away. Wisdom is of limited value because we are not immortal. And then also, wisdom is of limited value because we are not God. We are not God. Verse 13. Consider what God has done. Who can straighten what he has made crooked? When times are good, be happy. But when things are bad, consider this. God has made the one as well as the other. Therefore, no one can discover anything about their future. In this meaningless life of mine, that word meaningless is better translated a vapour, a mist, something that's here today but gone tomorrow. In this meaningless life of mine, I have seen both of these, the righteous perishing in their righteousness and the wicked living long in their wickedness. Now, those verses are about God's providence, how God arranges things in ways that we can't predict and we can't understand. Yes, there are patterns to how life usually turns out. And learning those patterns helps us to live wisely. But sometimes God causes things to happen in ways that we don't expect, ways we never saw coming, and ways that maybe don't seem fair. And in fact, if it wasn't for the fact that God says there's a judgment to come, those things wouldn't be fair. Teacher wants to teach us, no wisdom that we may have can control these things. Fact is, we can't straighten out these things. We can't do anything to make life always go better for us. We can't see the future. We can't control whether we have a short or a long life. Now, we don't like that, do we? We want to have that knowledge that only God has. Wasn't that the very heart of the issue in Genesis 3? Adam and Eve wanted more knowledge. Knowledge that belonged only to God. They wanted to gain wisdom. And so they ate. But that wisdom turned out not to be good for them. And so at the moment, we want to know, don't we, how to stop COVID-19. We want to know how long it's going to be like this for. We want to know why God's allowed it to happen. We want to know why one person survived and another person didn't. And we want to know whether we're going to catch it. And if we do catch it, whether we'll be okay. We want to know more so that we can have more control over our lives. But the fact is, we don't have that knowledge. Only God does. And we don't have control over the situations we face. Only God does. Wisdom cannot enable us to know the things that only God knows. And so the question is, will we try to rail against our limitations? Or will we see that actually it is a good thing that God, only God knows these things? Will we praise him that he knows the future, that he's in complete control of it, and therefore we can trust him with the things that our wisdom can't find out? Wisdom is of limited value because we're not immortal, because we're not God, and also because we are not righteous. Wisdom is of limited value because we are not righteous. Verse 20, there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins. All of us have failed morally. All of us have turned away from the God who made us and who loves us. And our understanding has been affected by that, just as much as every other part of us is affected. Our minds are fallen. We don't think the way that we should, and therefore our wisdom is limited. Verse 23, all this I tested by wisdom, and I said, I am determined to be wise, but this was beyond me. Verse 27, look, says the teacher, this is what I have discovered, adding one thing to another, to discover the schemes of things. While I was still searching, but not finding, I found one upright man among 1,000, but not one upright woman among them all. This only have I found. God created mankind upright, but they have gone in search of many schemes. Like sheep, all of us have gone astray. Our minds are darkened. And so our wisdom is limited. Think again about our jigsaw puzzle. But imagine this time it is a second-hand puzzle. You're trying to match the pieces of the same colour, and that strategy helps. But you find someone has spilt some coffee over it, and some of the pieces are discoloured. And you're trying to find that annoying little piece that just seems not to be there, and then finally you realise, actually, some of the pieces are missing. Well, in a similar way, the teacher is showing us We live in a broken world. Wisdom is of great value, but it doesn't work all the time. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, I think, is like a worked example of the principles of chapter 7. Chapter 8 sets a scenario. There's a king ruling over the land. He may not be a very good king. He may be unwise in his decisions because of his sin. And if you live under his rule, there's only so much you can do. You're not going to change him. Your wisdom is limited by his sin. And so your best option is just to keep your head down, to accept your limitations and to obey him. I'll say to you, for us, however much wisdom we may have, we should be realistic. Our wisdom cannot get us out of our fallen world. Verse 7, we're reminded that our wisdom is limited because we're not God. Since no one knows the future, who can tell someone else what is to come? And in verse 8, our wisdom is also limited because we're not immortal. As no one has power over the wind to contain it, so no one has power over the time of their death. You may have heard the story of King Canute. People almost worshipped King Canute because he was so powerful. He wanted to show them that actually he really wasn't all that powerful, how limited his power really was. And so he sat there on the beach and commanded the waves to stop. And his point was, even as a king, I only really have very limited power, very limited ability to change things. Well, the teacher says, like you can't contain the wind, like Canute couldn't contain the waves, nor can any of us control the time of our own death. Wisdom is limited because we're not immortal and we're not God and we are not righteous. As valuable as wisdom is, it cannot get us out of our fallen world, under the sun, Genesis 3 world. So are we willing to accept our limitations? If wisdom was like a slot machine, then we might think a little bit like this. We might think, well, if I follow the Bible's teaching about sex, well, then I'll get married and it'll be really good. If I work hard and if I put in more hours to my work, well, then I'll get the reward for doing that. If only I could be a better parent, well, then my children would be attracted to Jesus and they would want to follow him. If only we as a church could have more zeal for sharing Christ, or more passion in prayer, or a deeper love for God, or better online presence and YouTube videos, then we would see more people become Christians. If God's people spoke up more for the vulnerable, then we would be able to bring about some real changes in society. If the government would work out the wisest plan for tackling COVID-19, then it won't turn out too bad. But if we're going to be wise, we will understand that life just isn't like that. And if we grasp that, it'll save us from being overly optimistic. But it'll also save us from being utterly crushed when the things that we had hoped and planned for don't work out the way that we thought they would. So wisdom is of great value, but it's also of limited value. So what should we do? The teacher would tell us, the wise person seeks something more valuable than wisdom. Chapter 7, verse 16. Do not be over-righteous, neither be over-wise. Why destroy yourself? Do not be over-wicked, and do not be a fool. Why die before your time? Now, the word translated over in that verse is the word elsewhere translated as gain. And it's a key word in Ecclesiastes. The desire to do things that will make my life better, get gain for ourselves. And the point in these verses is that you can Try living a righteous life to get gain for yourself, or you can alternatively live a wicked life to get gain for yourself. But in his commentary, Ian Provan explains, both represent, in their own way, a refusal to accept the limitations that God sets on mortal beings. So what should we do instead? Verse 18, whoever fears God will avoid both extremes. And he mentions the same remedy, fearing God, twice in chapter 8 as well. Teacher's point is clear. Rather than running after wisdom to get ahead in life, instead we should fear God. And the book of Proverbs, in fact, makes exactly the same point. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when the Bible encourages believers to fear the Lord, it doesn't mean that we need to be terrified of him. It means a sense of awe, a sense of trembling, a sense of his holiness, his vastness, that makes us fall down at his feet. Truth is, all of us fear something. Maybe we fear COVID-19, maybe we fear something else. But as the hymn writer puts it, fear him, ye saints, and then ye shall have nothing else to fear. Our wisdom is limited, but God's wisdom isn't. We are limited by living in a fallen world, but God isn't. I think it's interesting to compare who we look to when we're afraid now compared to the time of World War II. Today, most people look to the NHS, or look to social distancing, or look to the hope of a vaccine for hope in this situation. In World War II, there was much more of a sense of a nation looking to God in prayer. God is the only one with the wisdom and the power to change things. We are so much better looking to him than looking to our limited wisdom. And when we look to God, we find that he has acted to get us out of this limited fallen world. How has he done that? Well, there may be a hint of an answer in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 itself. Chapter 7 verse 20, indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins. But then look at verse 20. I found one righteous man among a thousand, but not one upright woman among them all. One man who is upright. One man who, it seems, is not infected by the sin that plagues all of us. And this may well be a glimpse of the righteous man, the one who swaps places with us, the sinners, the one who gave his life so that we can be declared righteous in the right before God, the one who promises to bring all who rely on him out of this tragically messed up world with all its limitations, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether or not we're meant to take that verse in that way, certainly the passage as a whole points to our need of the Lord Jesus. For sinners like you and me, living in a broken world, facing God's judgment on our sin, and marching ever more quickly towards the grave, what we need most is not good advice, not good wisdom, but good news. There's been lots of comments in the press recently over the last couple of weeks about how churches have been responding to COVID-19, especially over the Easter period. One of the most interesting pieces was by a guy called Tim Stanley in the Daily Telegraph. And he says, it's pretty obvious that Britain's religious leaders have fluffed the pandemic. It wasn't just the decision to seal up the churches, implying that they are less essential than odd bins, but the failure to say much to the flock, except stay indoors. We needed hope. We got health and safety. I think his point's exactly right. Bible is not a book of good advice and suggestions. It is a book of good news. good news about King Jesus. A king who rules perfectly and who can bring us out of this fallen world. A king who knows everything and whose wisdom is unlimited. A king who can solve our sin problem and has solved it by going to the cross to die. A king who can bring us through death to resurrection life, just as he himself was raised. The wise person realises that what we need most is not wisdom. It is Jesus. Fear him, ye saints, and then you shall have nothing else to fear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul describes how the Corinthian culture idolised wisdom. They loved to hear impressive, wise-sounding speakers. And Paul refuses to give them that. Instead, he preaches Christ and him crucified. And he tells us Jesus' death on the cross, which looked so foolish, is in fact the wisdom of God. The wisdom that brings us out of our fallen world into heaven. Something that no other wisdom could ever get near to giving us. So if you're going to be wise, don't put your hope in wisdom. Put all your confidence in God's wisdom, the Lord Jesus Christ, his death on the cross. And trust him, not your wisdom, to give us the help that we need and the help that we need today. And the help that we will need, whatever tomorrow holds. Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the precious gift of wisdom that you give. It is indeed so valuable. Please, Father, would you give us that wisdom? Please help us, though, also to recognise the limitations of wisdom. We thank you, Father, that you have provided one, your Son, who can bring us out of this fallen world, this broken world. We praise you for the Lord Jesus, the one righteous man who swapped places with us on the cross. Father, we praise you for the wisdom of the cross that looks so foolish, and yet we see how very wise you are. Father, please help us not to depend on wisdom. But help us to depend entirely on the Lord Jesus. And we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.